Here's Higdon, it sits up nicely for Michael Higdon! And what a start for Motherwell! But here's Malt, and he goes for it for Sutton! Magnificent Malt! Stephen Robinson celebrates! Motherwell, 2-1! Could that be the goal that puts him into the Betfred Cup final?
He's got Irwin. The supporting links from Ainsworth on the angle. Lionel Ainsworth fires home.
It's Lasley deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton. No foul given. Kerr and Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given. Hesitation for Craig Reid, who scores his first ever goal in senior football. And what a moment for Motherwell.
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. The season, they said, was like no other, has come to a conclusion. And myself, Andy and Pepe are here to pick over the pieces. We'll look back in the draw against Dundee United and the final day defeat against Ross County. We'll discuss Martin Foyle and Alan Campbell's departure from the club. And we'll have a wee end of season awards ceremony that I've not told the guys about yet. And I'm not going to until we get there. Guys, how's it going?
All good.
Not bad. Cheers, yourself?
Yeah, doing fine. A day after my injection as well, so I'm feeling, my arm's a bit sore, but other than that, no side effects, thankfully. Pepe, I'll start with yourself tonight. The season has come to a conclusion. For some, they were absolutely delighted to see the back of it. I think that it'll maybe hit home in a couple of weeks' time when we've got no club football and we're maybe beginning to develop that itch again. But we finished the season in the eighth after a disappointing final day defeat on an occasion where the result meant much more to Ross County. How would you reflect, now that we've had 5 or 6 days to mull over the 2020-2021 season?
Wasn't it the greatest season we've ever had? Probably more lows than there was highs. I think we all kind of said that one of our favourite parts of the season was when Tony Watt scored against Hibs, so it was a bit of a damp squib of a season, which is kind of, I suppose, is understandable, the fact that we're in the circumstances that we find ourselves in. The actual game itself on Sunday was just, I think it was just the season all over. It was kind of half-hearted. It was evident that we didn't have anything to play for. I was actually really surprised when we went in front. But as you say, I mean, at the moment, on Sunday, I was like, well, I'm not actually that bothered that the football is finishing up, because I haven't really enjoyed it this season. But as you think 2 or 3 weeks down the line, when you've got no football, you'll start to miss it and be counting down the days to the pre-season friendlies. I think it'll be really interesting this year. Probably going ahead of ourselves, because we'll probably talk about this later on, but I'm looking forward to seeing the difference of what the pre-season brings. Obviously before, with Martin Foyle and Steve Robinson, just to see what the kind of freshness of Graham Alexander brings, and be quite interesting to see the calibre of player that he can attract.
And is it the first time we've recorded since the relegation issue was decided, albeit the playoffs are still ongoing, and Kilmarnock can consider themselves very lucky that they're still in with a shout come Monday night after a really tepid performance against Dundee last night. The obvious place to start there would be, we've finally got rid of Hamilton, which can only be a good thing for our end of season points tally next season, given some of the displays against them and giving them 9 points, which should have really helped them in their fight against relegation. Ultimately, the other teams beat them more often than not, and eventually we've got rid of the trips across the water, paying £25 for the privilege and quite often coming out in the wrong end of a result. The final two games, I think when you look back in both sets of 90 minutes, we only really performed for, I would say, about 40 of them. a better performance against Dundee United in the second half at Tannadice. We'd given ourselves a mountain to climb, going in 2-0 down. They had missed a penalty as well, so it looked like, for all the world, we were dead and buried. But we showed that fighting spirit that's been evident under Graeme Alexander, that we've got a wee bit about us. We go to the death. We'd done it against Hibs in the Scottish Cup a couple of weeks prior. And again, Devante Cole pops up with a what wasn't an important goal. It would have, at the time, it looked like it would move us towards seventh spot. We conceded that on the final day. It was, after winning the first three games post-split, I guess it was a bit of a sour note to end on, and missing out in that seventh spot that would have given us perhaps another player's contract money as well. But I think when you consider where we were when Graeme Alexander took over, we can't be overly disappointed registering an eighth place finish.
Well, I think you're right. I think this context, the kind of the key thing there. If you look at it in terms of the kind of post-split element, I found it quite frustrating, the finish. I was a bit more annoyed than I perhaps should have been given the overall kind of circumstances of it. As you say, there was quite an impressive desire about them at Tannadice to kind of pull back into the game. To be honest, I didn't actually think we were as bad as the scoreline had suggested. But it was a really decent second half display, and you know, capped by a fantastic equaliser at the death, and quite nice to do that to them as they did to us earlier in the season. But having seen that, the kind of way they went about that in the second half, it made the game against Ross County all the more disappointing, because there was nothing. I mean, we had the opportunity to finish seventh. We get virtually a goal of a start with a fortuitous goal early on. Rode your luck a bit to half time. You 45 minutes to see it out, and the second half was just poor. With nothing there at all. So quite frustrating to lose out in seventh place by however many goals it was. Annoying to finish below St Mirren as well, as I've harped on about often enough. But then you kind of put it in the context of the season as to where we were when Alexander took over, where we were a few weeks into the rain whenever we had that horrible weekend against Accies and St Johnson. And really finishing eighth and being well clear of relegation with several games to spare, you have to applaud the efforts of all concerned in doing that. But yeah, certainly it was a kind of pretty much an anticlimax to kind of conclude the season with.
It was quite interesting to note that the start 11 for the final couple of games didn't drastically change up from the previous three, despite the fact we'd already confirmed our league status for next season. Did that come as a shock to you, that perhaps you guys, like Dean Cornelius, weren't given opportunities? I know the manager had alluded to the fact that he wouldn't give guys a chance just for the sake of it, but it would have been nice to see them getting some game time in a more relaxed environment. You've not got the fans perhaps on your back as well, should you make a loose pass or miss a tackle or anything like that. So it would maybe given these guys a wee bit of freedom to express themselves and show them the fans watching at home and the manager, more importantly, what they were all about.
Certainly one of the other things that I found quite strange was the emergence of kind of Jake Hasty getting a couple of starts when I think it was even Jock Brown said during one of the commentaries that he was surprised because he didn't see him featuring at Firth Park next season. But with the young players, it's difficult to well, Alexander clearly doesn't rate them, or I would imagine they would have been playing. I was disappointed because Cornelius has been a permanent fixture on the bench. And he said that kind of cameo appearance against Dundee United, which makes you think that there's something in him. If Steve Robinson was going to give him his debut, show faith in him, bring him on, and then he said not even had a sniff. So it was really, really, really weird. Particularly the fact that Alan Campbell obviously didn't make the last game, and I thought it was a shoe-in for Cornelius to to come into the squad, and as you say, play with. Graham Alexander didn't like saying we've got nothing to play for, but pressure free, and we would have got a kind of flavour for how he actually performed. It was a positive sign. Sam Foley looked as if he was decent. It's just a pity that he's obviously getting a wee bit later in the years, but you just need to look at kind of how influential Steve Davis has been for Rangers. So whether or not that experience, because I certainly think he brings more than Robbie Crawford. Robbie Crawford had a part to play in both Ross County goals, in my opinion. And he really, I think he's got worse as the season's went on. So he's another one that seems just to get shooed in. Whereas again, I would rather have seen the likes of Dean Cornelius given a shot. So that is one kind of big disappointment that we don't seem to have the next David Turnbull, Alan Campbell, whoever else that we would use to, in that kind of bracket, coming through the ranks. I don't know what's happening with that. I'd probably put a loss to name more than kind of 5-6 players. At that age, you've also got Jamie Semple there, who was going to be the next big thing. So I really did expect to see these guys, but as you say, there was that kind of incentive financial that potentially it could have been the difference between a player staying or going, and that was obviously what Alexander had in his mind. And I suppose if it comes down to finances in the current climate, then fair play to him. He wants to go out and win as many points as he possibly can.
Yeah, and fair play to the manager for that, though. I think there was a few that were below par, though, and I must admit that I'm getting increasingly worried about the contributions of Stevie Lawless since he joined. He really hasn't made any sort of impact at all in a positive sense. The guy clearly had a few injury issues to deal with when he came in, but since then, when he's got his opportunities in the team, he's looked somewhat off the pace. He loses the ball quite comfortably. It constantly looks like he's running an empty, even early on in games. And while I don't want to get on the guy's back a couple of months after signing, it's not the most kind of positive thing to see as a first impression. And I do fear for him going forward. He obviously had a spell at the club as a youngster and never really was afforded too many opportunities, and it looked like not one that got away, but he went on to achieve relative success. He obviously had a good time at Partick Thistle. He was relatively successful at Livingston as well. I know his time down south didn't go quite as he hoped at Burton Albion, but it's one, Andy, that hasn't really caught any spark so far.
No, I think you would hope there's more to come there. He's certainly going to be there next season, you would imagine. When he arrived, certainly when he was set against what had been there before him, it certainly looked like a decent option when you compare what we were getting from Seedorf, for example. We weren't getting much from Hasty, not happiest of chappies whenever he was required to play out wide. So someone coming in that knew the league, had 5-6 years experience, generally chipped in with half a dozen goals a season from that kind of position, certainly seemed to be a reasonable signing in the face of it, but nothing's happened in that regard. And I think going back to what Pepe was saying, that was part of my kind of frustration at the end of the season, as you both alluded to it. In fact, is that we've kind of, there's two kind of general schools of thought when it comes to post-split games, is you can either look for the financial opportunities and try and make as much out of it as you possibly can, or you can use it as an opportunity to give players game time. And Ross County was perhaps that ideal game time whenever you're playing against a team that's got something very much at stake, to see how you compare against players with that incentive to get a result, as opposed to just perhaps a slightly less element of desire about Dundee United, perhaps, whenever we played them, for example. But basically, we've ended up doing neither. We've learned very little about the kind of younger players that were in and around the squad, and we're failed to get that additional revenue from finishing seventh. So it's just going back to what you said at the start, it's just kind of a bit of a damp squib of an ending. Kind of missed opportunity, it feels like, in several respects.
See this from Stevie Lawless. I think the formation doesn't suit him, because I don't think he can play part of the front three, and I don't think he's got the grit or the fight to be part of that midfield three. And saying that, his best game was against Fermanagh when he was playing against much lesser opposition. So I think I don't know where he sits in that. He's not like a kind of out and out striker. He's not going to be your ball winning midfielder, but you need to be part of that three. So I just think that if it was possibly a 4-4-2, it would be slightly more beneficial. I know we've kind of applied that toward the end, but I think the formation Disney suit has brings the best out of him, is what I'm basically trying to say.
Just a final one on the last couple of games. Jake Hastie obviously was afforded quite a reasonable amount of game time in the concluding fixtures, which clearly came on the back of Pepe making such a strong case for him 4 or 5 weeks ago. What would you take, now you've had a wee bit of time to see him in action, Pepe, in terms of his performances there?
I still think he brings something. I think a lot of people's attitudes would be different to him if he hadn't left the club in the way that he did. I think that he's still saying he was trying too hard to score. And sometimes when you do that, it just doesn't come off. I certainly think he's a useful addition. But what does put me off now is that when you look at what he's going to be getting at Rangers, wage-wise, he's quite an expensive luxury to have. So for that, I think it's possibly better for him to move on. So I'll put myself into reverse and change that whole wanting him to stay. This will sound kind of, I think he's done all right though over the times when he started. He's worked great. There was flashes of kind of the old Jake Hastie starting to come through with some of his runs, but things just weren't coming off for him. I mean, that starts to happen. I think it's best for him, best for us, and that he gets a fresh start elsewhere. Now, where that will be, I don't really care, but I don't really see him playing in Scotland with anybody else. But I think it's time for a fresh start for all parties.
I think that's a good point. I think there was a few that had an air of desperation about them. I'd say another one of them was Chris Long, who was fairly effective at times in the last couple of games, but at the same time, things weren't quite going for him, or he would attempt a shot from distance that sailed miles over the bar. It just, everything was being done tenfold, maybe to catch the eye, maybe because he's got an eye on a deal elsewhere, or maybe he's just desperate to secure another season at Firth Park. But maybe having maybe 3 or 4 players in the team at the same time that are all vying for a new contract or a move elsewhere is a wee bit of a recipe for disaster, because you're going to inevitably have guys that are just trying that bit too hard, or maybe trying to make the Hollywood pass and things like that to catch the eye. So I thought that it was almost kind of, I felt sorry for Hastie at times in the last couple of games, because it just wasn't quite coming off. But you could see what the intent was, and you know the ability's there. I think it's something that's kind of frustrated me somewhat when I look at the reaction to his performances at points, because he's not become a terrible player overnight, and he wasn't. While he was a player that burst onto the scene and hadn't accumulated a great number of appearances, that doesn't mean in any sense of the word that you're overrated. He's impressed enough to win what was a big move, a life-changing move in terms of money. Yeah, I don't think any of us were absolutely delighted at the way that he left the club, but it's we will always think with the club at our heart, whereas players come and go, and that's just the nature of the business. Jake Hastie made the move that he thought was right for him. It's turned out that he's been back at Fir Park a lot quicker than he would have anticipated. His chances have been sporadic at best, and Graeme Alexander seems to think more of him than Stephen Robinson certainly did. And I think that with a summer under his belt, a pre-season where he's got a manager that's got faith in him, that's going to give him a regular run, he might just get that wee bit of momentum and he might build up some of the form that he had in his first spell. I don't know how much of a risk it is. I don't see any place for him at Ibrox, put it that way. They'll be looking well beyond him. Whether it's the case that he just sits out his contract, but that's a dangerous game to start playing. I don't know. If we could get another season out of him on loan, I would go for it. I would just worry about the fans' reaction. I don't know what you guys take is on that, but I think the knives have been out for him almost since day one.
I think that was part of the kind of the obvious thought whenever we've seen what the lineups the last couple of games. Kelly's inclusion obviously makes sense because there's a massive drop off there between him and Chapman. Or you take a gamble on Fox, who I think was back for the last one or two games. So that made sense. The inclusion of both Hastie and Tyler McGuire, or however it is you pronounce his surname. That was an interesting one, and the thought did strike me as well. Is there something afoot with these guys that they're maybe going to get back in for them for next year, or if they're going to be released, are they going to make a move for them on a permanent basis? Because otherwise, again, they come back to the earlier point I'd made. It just seemed curious to play them. I mean, I get going for the finance, which was all well and good, but the performance didn't seem to back up that intent against Ross County. The urgency in which we played, the kind of desire wasn't as it has been as well. So just strange, but it certainly wouldn't surprise me if there was interest in bringing them back for both of them for next season. In fact, the three of them, obviously, because they're obviously would be happy to have Liam Kelly back, I'm sure, if there was any opportunity that they could pull that one off.
Yeah, it certainly will be interesting to see how it pans out. And talking of next season, the club have announced plans for season tickets for next season. All season ticket holders for the 2020-2021 campaign will receive a free season book for the following season. An absolutely incredible gesture by the club, Pepe, that obviously is a huge part of the revenue, season ticket money. The club had promised that they would honour every game that we weren't in the stadium. I don't think at that point they would have realised that we wouldn't be in the stadium for any game over the 2020-2021 campaign. But as a community club and as a club with the supporters at their heart, they've went ahead, they've honoured the deal. There's initiatives to donate to the community trust, to contribute to a fund for supporters who are unemployed or in low incomes, to attend games at Fir Park next season. It's an absolutely staggering gesture that is writing off a hell of a lot of money for the football club. But the PR and the publicity has been incredible. They've received such positive coverage. But I think I'd like to quantify that by saying I don't think in any way this has been a publicity stunt or a PR stunt. It has just been typical of the way that Motherwell Football Club have been run over the last 4 or 5 years.
I certainly didn't see that coming at all, to be honest with you. It was kind of made you proud to be a part of the club. I think you've kind of said before, at what point did the club give you a bit back? And I don't think anybody would have expected that. So really all you can say is hats off to them. And they've obviously made it, like, you could have done it the easy way by saying, oh, if you want your free season ticket, come into the office and tell us. But the fact that I think is a great gesture is the fact that it's almost the opposite. There's your free season ticket. If you want to do anything about it, then by donating, then that's up to you. But we're making the decision for you. Because it's almost like some of the times where if you were wanting a refund or whatever, you had to let the club know by a certain date. And I didn't know anybody that did that. But this time, it's kind of the way that the club's done it, as you say, has been all the plaudits that they've got has been thoroughly and utterly deserved. And hopefully, some of the good that comes out of it for the donations and stuff will be stories to tell for that as well.
And yeah, I think that Pepe's covered it off really well there. Although I would like to touch on one thing that he said, and that was the fact that they've done this in a way that, I don't want to say embarrassment, but I feel that there was a wee bit of kind of circumstance last season where it was, if you want a refund on the remaining games in your season ticket, if you email the club or get in touch with the club or go down to the club. And there's not many people that are going to front up and do that, even if it's a case that perhaps they really needed that money. There's an element of embarrassment involved in it. The club have been very upfront and honest, and those that couldn't afford to write off their season ticket or would prefer not to take up the season ticket for next season have got the option to get in touch with the club as well. I wouldn't imagine many people will do that, but absolutely fair play if there is situations that dictate that you can no longer afford to the 350 to 400 odd pounds outlay, then by all means do what's best for your individual circumstances. But I think they've taken a lot of the, I'm struggling for the word, and that shame was what was in the tip of my tongue, but that's not what I mean. I think they've just done it in such a positive way, in a way that alleviates any kind of finger pointing or anything like that, which I don't think would exist, but it just absolutely won't now in these circumstances.
Yeah, I was kind of, you know, much the same as yourselves. I was very surprised and, you know, quite proud of the way that they handled the situation. And you can kind of tell the reach that it's had. I mean, there was kind of numerous fans of other clubs were kind of commenting in the kind of social media posts, and certainly if it, you know, people that's got no real interest in football, or, you know, that maybe know you're a Motherwell fan, but or stay some distance away, that had, you know, remarked upon it. So it certainly had a reach, and you only hope that the kind of charities do benefit from it. I mean, I must admit, I've still yet to do the donations myself for it, and tend to do so. So we hope that, you know, it's not a case of, well, we're all just delighted that we've got a season ticket sorted for next season. We've got the streaming covered as well, that we actually, you know, kind of forget to do the donating element if we're able to do so. But no, it's certainly been very, very well received, and not only get the club a lot of exposure, but the, you know, the benefits it's going to bring are kind of mutually beneficial in terms of perhaps attracting new fans through the money that's donated to the kind of season ticket fund for, you know, inverted commas, disadvantaged, and I believe the club are going to match that as well. So, you know, it's positive all round, and clearly we know the benefits that the kind of the community trust have brought. You know, it's been well evident in the last year, 18 months or so, circumstances of there being. So, you know, it's a completely positive, you know, outcome and situation. So, well done the club in that one.
Yeah, it's a remarkable gesture and one that deserves all the plaudits it will receive and already has received. Pepe, it seems a slightly crass to turn it on its head, and I don't really mean to do that, but that there will be people that point out the fact, though, that in not taking season ticket money in next season will put us at a fair financial disadvantage. Now, Hibs play St Johnstone tomorrow in the Scottish Cup final. £3 million at stake. It's a massive list for either of these teams. You've got the power of Hearts coming back, who you would imagine will be fairly financially backed in the top flight, considering how the last season in the Premiership went. We've had a season where it has been a bit of a struggle at times. Does that offer any concern to you that the team may have a smaller budget when it comes to Graeme Alexander delving into the signing market next season or over the course of the summer? Or is it the case that this goodwill gesture will actually be so well received that the fans will be more than happy to back initiatives by the club and donate perhaps a wee bit more to the society?
That is the one point that when I got the email out, I was kind of really, as I said, shocked and surprised. And then you were looking at the ways that you could donate or whatever it was, and I was quite surprised that there was anyone that said you'll just go ahead and purchase a season ticket or make a donation, pay into the match for a reduced rate or something like that. Because obviously the initiatives are great, the work that Motherwell do in the community. But maybe some people just wanted to put their money back to where they would do it anyway. So I don't feel as if I've been shortchanged than any other football fan. I got my season ticket last year, although I didn't enjoy the streaming. Sometimes the service wasn't great. But it was the best that we could have hoped for. And I fully expected to be going to pay a season ticket again. I was one of the ones that rather than paying it on in the one big go, you kind of paid it up monthly. And potentially, I would have quite liked to have discontinued paying it and been given that option. Again, I'm not trying to be critical of an amazing initiative. I just think that as you say, there will be an element if things do go wrong and we don't have a great season, people will say, well, we should have been paying for the season tickets and we could have bought X, Y, or Z instead of who we've got just now. So there is going to be that, and that's the only slight criticism that I would say about the whole thing, that it has been a brilliant thing to do. I just think we've maybe possibly missed the opportunity to allow the fans to make that choice to where if they wanted it just to continue on, or as I said, like doing the match day, whether it be a tenner, you show your season ticket, you get in for a reduced rate, and then that's directly getting into the club's coffers, I feel like. But listen, you're going to get people moaning left, right and centre anyway. I've read people moaning about the amount of money that's getting spent in the stadium. That's clearly somebody that's not been in the stadium and seen the buckets collecting in the water or the condition of the toilets or whatever else. So for me, that's another element that I'm really looking forward to getting back to is getting back into seeing this kind of I know it's not a new stadium, but it's going to feel new, it's going to feel fresh. And that adds to my excitement and how people can take negativity out of such positive things. That's really for that person to ask themselves, not for me to say. But all in all, for me, the club's done everything positive, and it's just that wee tiny bit that potentially, if they'd said, however, if you want to continue with doing the way that you were doing it, then here's an option for you to do that. But I think they just wanted to take that. It's almost, I think what you were trying to say earlier on was that you didn't want to feel any less of a supporter than the person who didn't claim back the season ticket money. It's almost and you would never do that. And I think the club has to be commended for eliminating that. But at the same time, they could have possibly have done something for people that would have been more than willing and maybe won't, as Andy says, oh, I've not donated yet or whatever. I just think there's an opportunity missed ever so slightly.
Yeah, I think that's really fair in terms of the. I think you've kind of summed up my point fairly well as well. In terms of, I don't know whether I think there was. Let's put it this way: the pandemic's forced people's hands in terms of situations that, whether it be losing their jobs or having to get jobs elsewhere, and there's just been so many tricky circumstances to have to deal with. So people's circumstances, where they may have been very comfortable 15, 16 months ago, that may be completely different now. On the other hand, there's many that have worked all the way through, working from home. Whilst we're actually better off than they were 15, 16 months ago. And those people may be more than happy to say, well, no, I'm happy with the fact that I got to see every game this season. I'm going to go ahead and I'll just renew my season ticket. I guess there still is the option to do that. You could buy another seat and give it to a family member or give it to a friend or whatnot. Let's face it, we're not going to end up with Fir Park sold out every week for home fans. So I guess there's ways around it. It's just I think for me, the avoiding the scenario of last season where it became a wee bit of a look at me type scenario where I'll not be taking the refund, I'll not be taking the refund. So you can imagine the people that were sitting there thinking, I could really be doing with that money. You're going to feel a bit shit watching on as everyone else is proclaiming that they're not going to do it. So I think that was quite a telling part from the way that they've conducted their business this season. And also, I think it's very telling from what you were saying about the stadium improvements that you just can't wait to go and do the toilet at Fir Park. Oh, you're still not in mute. You've not even got a comeback for me. That's quite good.
No, I was... my phone was ringing and other. I was trying to do two things at once here. No, but I mean, I get what you mean with that. It might just sound like a wee thing, but for me, it is going to be like a slightly different experience. It's weird that we've not been in that stadium for so long, and you're going to go back, and it's kind of it's almost like a new stand you're getting into, with everything all improved, TVs and stuff like that. So that stuff will add to the match day experience, and I'm just I can't wait to go back.
We'll move on, discuss a couple of departures from the football club. The confirmation has come that after years of amazing service to Motherwell, Alan Campbell will leave during the summer. There's been a few clubs mentioned. Stoke City, Millwall, Luton, Blackpool have been mentioned now as well. The overriding feeling, Andy, was one of just, I guess, emotion in terms of there's been few players in recent times that have contributed so much to the cause, have been so dedicated to their own profession. Alan Campbell has seemingly tried to better himself on a minute-by-minute basis, whether that be being the first in for training and all the additional gym work that he's done, right through to just his dedication on the park. And you could tell how much Motherwell Football Club meant to him in so many ways. It's a really sad loss, but at the same time, one that I don't think many fans will begrudge. He's been a standout performer in the first team for 5 years now. A fantastic talent, and one that will now be hoping to test himself and see how far he can go, because I think that's the one question mark and something we've maybe discussed. I'm pretty sure we have discussed it on the podcast before, where it'll be interesting to see just how far. He's not got the natural ability of a David Turnbull, for instance, but there is players that in Scotland that have left and perhaps went down south and really made a hell of a career for themselves. And if Alan continues to conduct himself in that way and devote his time to his profession, then there's every chance he could be one of these names that's added to that list.
It certainly won't be for the want of trying anyway. We know that for sure. Wherever he ends up. I think we're kind of reiterating what we've said before. You know, he's certainly a talented player. He's, you know, epitomises everything that you want to see in a kind of footballer. We know that there's maybe players there that have got, you know, greater talent, but certainly won't be anywhere near the kind of career that Alan Campbell will, because they don't have the desire and the commitment that he has, the determination to better himself, as you see, in a kind of day-by-day basis. So he's going to be a great loss, but it's one, as you said again, that I think the timing's right. Assuming that he goes to a different league, I would be very disappointed if he end up like an Aberdeen or Hibs. As much as he wants to see how far he can go in his career, I think we kind of view him as very much as the banner said behind the goals, is one of our own. So we want to see him progress as far as he possibly can also. And I think it would be to his benefit to try somewhere new, different style of football, different players, a freshness, be reinvigorated perhaps if you're feeling that Scottish League's a bit stale after, you know, 5 or 6 years of it. Try something new, see what you can do, and clearly it'll boost his bank balance to some tune as well, you know, if he goes to England. So I hope he goes there, and let's see how far he can progress. But the whole thing has just been done pretty classy. I noticed Stephen Craigan tweeting about him, and he was singing his praises. And Craigan, for me, was like much the same ilk. Now, I don't know what he'd done in terms of training and all the rest of that, but Craigan was one of those guys for me where, you know, he managed to squeeze every ounce out of his career that he possibly could. And, you know, again, we're talking to somebody that was released from Motherwell early on in his career, and he's battled back, you know, went down the divisions, come back to Fir Park, you know, 50-odd caps or something for Northern Ireland, and, you know, one of the kind of Northern Ireland legends in recent times. So there's no one better place to know what's required to sort of turn things around and work hard and see where that kind of inner strength and drive can take you. And so, you know, it's very much the case with Alan Campbell. So we'll see where he goes. He's left in good terms, it would appear. There's no pre-contracts or anything like that. Even if he has done something, then it's not been announced. It's been kept under wraps until he's concluded the season. So there's no kind of bad feeling there. And it's just one that he's there. He's given us tremendous service in the time that he's been with us. You know, where you go, son, do as well as you can, and we'll look on with pride to see whatever you do.
Another departure that was announced today was Martin Foyle, the head of recruitment at the club, who's moved on to Northampton Town. Pepe, I'll leave this one to you. Obviously, nowhere near the same emotion about Martin Foyle leaving the football club, but he's got a track record that has made the club up plenty of money, put it that way, in terms of recruiting guys from the lower leagues down south. And some of them have come up trumps. It's not... I'll just try and do that again. It's obvious as well that he has got plenty wrong, and I think when you're shopping in the windows that the Motherwell are, that's somewhat inevitable. But it seems another guy that was very popular around the place. As I say, he has made the club plenty of money when it comes to transfer fees received. And again, it is another one that leaves with the best wishes of everyone at the football club. It'll be interesting to see what happens next. It seems like the new man has already been appointed and has already started work ahead of next season. It also may be the case that Graham Alexander fancied his own man.
Well, totally. I was quite happy when I heard it, to be honest, because I think it is a complete fresh approach that we're going to have. As you say, there has been good. There has been plenty of bad as well, so let's not forget about that. And I think you've got to look at, again, I've never met him, never spoke to him. You can only make an assessment in what you read and what you hear. But my assessment's made on where he's meant to after Motherwell, and I think if he had done an amazing job, he'd have went higher than Northampton. So I think that's kind of testament to the level that he's going to be pitching at. There's the likes of Marvin Johnston and whatnot that certainly he found. We've had, as I said, for every Marvin Johnston, you've got a Nathan Thomas. Do you know what I mean? So it is going to be a bit of a hit or a miss. The market that we're in, we're always going to be a hit or a miss. And it'll just be interesting, as you say. I'm surprised that the club haven't announced who it is. Obviously, I noticed that on the Sky documentary when Alexander was a manager of Salford, that it was Greg Strong that he used. Now, whether or not that was Salford's or whether or not that was Graham Alexander, I'm not sure. So just it'd be a bit of coincidence if he come back after being one of the ones that was involved with the administration and stuff, wasn't he? So I don't know. I think it's a good thing, as I said before, freshness, a different approach, and we'll see where we go.
That's a good point. I hadn't considered the Greg Strong thing either. It would be certainly someone that when I spoke to him 4 or 5 years ago, he certainly holds no ill will towards Motherwell now. Does admit that he was very bitter at the time, and understandably so, I guess. But time moves on, and I'm sure if the opportunity arose to work with a manager that he clearly has great respect for, then there could be something that works out there. Talking of fresh approaches, we're going to end this podcast with alternative end of season awards. Guys, I've given you no chance to prepare for this. I've also not written down anything either, apart from the award categories. We'll quickly try and go through them just now. We'll start off with the best game of the season, and I'll start with yourself, Andy.
Aberdeen away, 3-0.
I'm going to go with Hibs away, 2-0.
Likewise, I'm Hibs away, 2-0.
Okay, so there we go, we've got our first winner. And then we'll flip it in its head. Pepe, you start us off with the worst game of the season. And let's face it, there is a few contenders here.
Aki's when Keith Lashley was in charge at the start of January.
I'm going to go for this one, the Aki's game at Fir Park in February, because I really thought we'd get a reaction from the game the 2nd of January, and somehow we managed to be worse on our own turf as well.
I would agree with that. I would go with the Aki's one at Fir Park as well.
Okay, so we've got two awards down. Goal of the season, the club's one went to Stephen O'Donnell against Glentoran. What about yourself, Andy?
I'm trying to remember what I voted in it. That was days ago. I can't actually remember, to be perfectly honest. What about Pepe?
If we stick with you, it'll be next season will be started. I went for Alan Campbell's goal against for Martin Murray. I just loved the wee kind of nutmeg and the wee flick for Hasty and the kind of composed finish. It was an all-round goal, wasn't it? A big 30-yard curler, but I just liked the build-up play to that, and in fact it was Alan Campbell as well. Get my vote.
Well, I thought we were going to have a landslide there and it would have been fine, but unfortunately I'm going to go with Alan Campbell at Rugby Park. For a multitude of factors, the finish was fantastic. The cute through ball from Tony Watt, and also the fact that it was at a time where we really, really needed a result as well. So for me, that would just edge that one. Are we any closer, Andy?
Probably I'll just go with O'Donnell against Glentoran.
Okay, so we've got a draw on that one. No one wins goal of the season. Signing of the season. Andy, you start the ball rolling on this one.
Liam Kelly.
Absolutely agree with that.
I'm going to be different. I'm going to go for Stephen O'Donnell. I think he's had a bit of bad press, I think, because it was always going to be short-term signing. Now he's here for 2 years. I think he's had some poor performances, but as a signing, to get him for 2 years, I think is a brilliant bit of business for us. I'm delighted that he'll be our next captain.
And probably the worst signing of the season.
Do they have to have played, or are you including players that... You would have to say, if it's someone that's played, then I don't know. You could give it to a rafter. Where's Chapman, Smith, but Eddie Nolan, I suppose, has to be the one that arrived and didn't kick a ball for us.
I wish that Alan Chapman had arrived and hadn't put a pair of gloves on, because for me, he caused his defeats in just a bit of a game that he played, so much so that I would say that he's probably up there with the worst goalkeepers that I've ever seen at Fir Park. So for me, Alan Chapman wins that hands down.
Yeah, I can remember his first game against Ross County. He didn't seem quite as bad as what was to follow. But yeah, it was a disaster. And the thing is, we tried to compensate as well, didn't we? Because we got Jordan Archer in to try to alleviate the chances of Chapman having to play, and Archer moved on, and Trevor Carson got his injury, and suddenly we were back to Aaron Chapman again to start the year. And the New Year game was just as bad as it was possibly going to get. And we've had a shocking year when it comes to goalkeepers. Trevor Carson having horrendous luck. Scott Fox being injured before the season had really begun. I think it was in the second week of the season that he was ruled out for the duration. Now back in terms of, he's went out and loaned to Morton to play in their playoff games. But yeah, it's Chapman, I think, wins that quite comfortably. And the thing is, Pepe, he pulled on a pair of gloves, but he went with everything with his feet anyway.
He was just so unorthodox, wasn't he? Just didn't. I think I said before, he looked as if he was like a striker in goals for the injured keeper. That's how bad he was. I mean, it got to the stage where I think I'm glad that Stevie Kirk didn't come on until later on in the season, because you'd have actually preferred him in goals. When at least he saved a penalty against Hearts many years ago. But he was just... I think the fact that even when I seen his name getting mentioned in the bench recently, that put the fear of God into you.
We'll keep on the negative ones before having a couple of more positive ones. The biggest disappointment of the season?
I think we're definitely confirming we've had no any time to research this, because unless Andy's a brilliant actor.
There's so many. There's the failure to kick on from last season in general. There's the European exit. It was a bit of a damp squib. There's been like one up against St Johnston in the cup, you know, at home with 20 minutes to go and conceding that, and they go on and win the trophy, and coming back against Hibs, that was slightly disappointing, but so many awful games. So, but the European one, I'll go for that. The fact that we weren't able to be there and see games, missed out on trips to, you know, Northern Ireland, which would have been fantastic. A chance to go somewhere new in Israel, and I still don't think they were as good as the scoreline suggested against us, but however. So I'll go for the European campaign, the way we missed out in seeing games and the way it concluded.
I think I would have to go for the Hibs game and the Scottish Cup. Just not, it was a poor performance for the most part, but we managed to get ourselves back in it. And then from there, it only looked like there was going to be one team that went on and won the game. And with that carrot of a semi-final in the Scottish Cup dangling there, we just weren't quite able to take our chances in extra time. Gone to take a few poor penalties. Mark O'Hara's one's due to land any day soon. And then Stevie Lawless hits the post, kind of summing up what I said earlier about his season or his time at the club so far and the way it's went. It was a sore one to take, and it was perhaps one of the few times this season I've properly felt invested sitting watching the game on the couch, and it just hurt to lose in that manner. And I think it'll sting even a wee bit tomorrow when we watch Hibs take him to the park for the final, because really we should have went on and won that game. And who knows what happened in the semi final, and Rangers went out the next day as well. It was just a perfect storm, really, and it was a sore one.
I've got a different one. My biggest disappointment is missing out on Tommy Wright's been a manager. He was clearly the most outstanding candidate. For the manager's job, we really did miss a big scalp there.
I don't even think Eric Nicholson will be able to reply anymore, because he has now blocked the podcast account. But to be fair, I think we were on maybe a strike 7 before he eventually just snapped. But it was him that pointed it out, and then was smug enough after Kilmarnock beat us in March to get in contact and try to rub it in our faces, only for Kilmarnock to then end up in the playoffs with Motherwell safe with 3 games to go. So, egg in his face, and he couldn't take it either. Young player of the season.
Was Alan Campbell still come into that?
I would say he would, yeah.
I think he's really the only choice for me, Alan Campbell, again.
Yeah, but I don't think you're going to...
Hard to contest that, because we've not really had any other youngsters. Who else are we talking about? Dean Cornelius, 8 minutes, or Max Johnson's 15 minutes or something?
Yeah, there's not a great number, but in terms of, I would say if you're under 23, you tend to be regarded as a youngster, don't you? So that's maybe just testimony to the fact that we have went with experience more often than not, and there's maybe a few that are... They brought the average up towards the end of the season, the likes of Sam Foley, but I don't think there's many that would really come into the bracket that could win the award. So maybe an award designed for Alan Campbell is a fun farewell, but he wins it anyway.
I think I see just on that though, Andy. I mean, I kind of said it earlier on, and I keep on harping back to this, that we don't have under-20s football. There's Max Johnson, there's the boy Devine, there's Dean Cornelius,
and Mike Robinson.
I don't really see who else is coming through. We don't seem to have anybody that's on that kind of a conveyor belt, if you like. And I suppose that is possibly one of my more serious aspects. I know it's kidding on about Tommy Wright, but I suppose my biggest disappointment is that the season isn't an emergency, a new young player. We need
to wait and see how that is. There's mitigating circumstances for that, as you say, with the reserve league. And I think there's a kind of wider scale of things, there's a danger that people assume that we're going to have one of these youngsters a season emerge. We've had a few in succession. You know, you kind of think back. You had obviously with the aforementioned Hasty. We've had James Scott has come through his way, and David Turnbull. There's now Alan Campbell. There's probably others there that I've forgotten about as well. So there's a kind of an assumption there that this conveyor belt is going to consistently churn out players year in, year out, and that doesn't always happen. I mean, I'm kind of constantly baffled. There's one guy in particular in Steelman Online on there that seems to believe that we should have a reserve team basically like sitting there ready to fall into every position for a player, a youngster there. And you know, it doesn't happen for Barcelona, it doesn't happen for Inter Milan, it doesn't happen for Celtic, and it certainly doesn't happen for Motherwell either. So you're going to get runs, a really good players will come through in spells. And it's all the more difficult as well when we see now that guys are getting picked off before they've even got close to the first team. And again, it's a discussion we've had before, but your McAleer's going to Norwich and McKinstry to Leeds before they've even practically sat on the bench in some cases. So it's going to be difficult, and it's quite an expectation unrealistic expectation, I think, in some respects, to have somebody there all the time, much as we aspire for it to happen, and much as the club are kind of putting a lot of stock in it for producing revenue for the future, and this has got right off track on that. Sorry, Andy.
I agree with what you're saying, right? But what my point is the fact that this has probably been the first time in quite a long time that I don't remember there being two or three in the kind of periphery. Alright, you could say Dean Cornelius, but that's just because he's featuring on the bench. But you've always even had, like, say, Jamie Semple that people were talking about, or there was even the boy Cole Stars, who I remember I was talking to. I went to one of the 20s games, and it was Brian McLaughlin. He was the Scotland under-16s manager at the time, and said he's going to be a great player. I just, and as you say, there was McKinstry, there was McClear. At the moment, I don't hear even any whispers of young, exciting players. Hopefully we're just keeping them under to unleash next season. I think that's more the point I was getting at. I know that we're never always going to have a McFadden or a Turnbull or a Campbell all the time, but we've been quite consistent over the last 10 years or so with players, even the likes of Stevie Hamels and Keith Lasley's. I just don't see where we're... That was more the point I was getting at.
It's a fair one to make. I think that it's worth emphasising, though, that there's been a raft of young players at the club out on loan throughout this season, just due to the fact that football at reserve level has completely come to a stop. So the manager doesn't have that opportunity to go along to reserve games or the likes and check out what's going on, even in the sense that the 20s weren't in the Challenge Cup or anything like that, because that didn't take place this season. So it's kind of these opportunities, because you've got guys that performed well in these games that caught the eye and that caught the eyes of the supporters and got the supporters enthusiastic as well. I remember games against Ross County, and I think it was Airdrie the year before that they narrowly lost, but the signs were encouraging. I'm sure the year that played Ross County before it, was that a Northern Irish team that beat at Fir Park, who also beat Queen's Park that year.
Bully, remember he played well in it.
And he got his chance. I think that it's more testimony to the circumstances rather than the fact that there's no one coming through. When normality, and Touchwood, that's not too far away, resumes and the reserve league can get back, it'll be a massive thing, because there is a generation that we're risking losing to the game because of the cutbacks that clubs have had to make just to ensure their futures. And that will change when there's a requirement to have a reserve team, and secondly, when they're playing regular football to an extent that they'll be able to progress. The reserve games, and I'm sure we've all been to them, they're pretty rough to watch. They're not there's no atmosphere. It doesn't have any sort of big game feel, and that can obviously work two ways. One, players could just express themselves as freely as they want, or secondly, they can look disinterested and end up just being lost to the game and the fact that they've not applied themselves properly. But while I don't think it's a perfect barometer, it definitely is a barometer, and we don't have that just now. So I wouldn't say it's panic stations, that there's not a load of names that you've got that are ready to burst through, but there is five or six that are out just now. And even McKeever, who had managed to build up half a dozen games, he scored that brilliant goal that maybe gave him that kind of Craig Moore effect, where he was going to be the next big thing and never really kicked on. But he's been at Thistle, he was at Morton at the start of the season. Hopefully that's just built up his experience at playing a more physical style of football. that will mean that he's worth something to us. In fact, McKeever not come on against Rangers this season as well, didn't he? At Ver Park.
He did, but I don't see him featuring long term with Motherwell. Even you mentioned he was away to Morton and loan, he was away to Thistle, and didn't really get much game time. And any time that I've ever seen him, I wasn't overly impressed. Other than that wonder goal he scored at Ross County.
It's hard to tell, but I don't think I think it's silly to get a bit carried away by the fact that there's no one breaking through when you've got a situation which we did this season where you're under real threat of a relegation for the majority of it. If you suddenly throw guys in at the deep end, and Max Johnson gets thrown in at the deep end, and while he didn't do horrendously, he did look like he was out of his depth, and it was a bad defeat that day as well against Hamilton, and that can be the abiding memory of players, and the manager's maybe been a bit shrewd in not throwing guys in at a time where the pressure was on. Why he didn't do it at the end of the season, I guess that's for Graham Alexander to explain, but for the best part of the season, I think the pressure was such that throwing young guys in would have been a massive risk.
No, the only thing that I don't think it is panic stations. All I'm meaning is that it's first time in a good wee while that we've not had any, like, he's one of our own type coming through. And I thought, for example, this season we'd have seen the emergency like the Dean Cornelius, whereas I can't make any sort of judgment on him. And I think, I don't mean for a second that I'm panicking that we should scrap the youth system and whatever else. I'm just meaning that I would have liked to have seen some, if they were, obviously if they're good enough. And that's why I'm disappointed, because clearly the manager doesn't think potentially that they are at that level as yet.
I think it's more circumstances have just dictated that the youth system stagnated somewhat, but we'll know more when the new season resumes. Let's finish this up with a player of the year, and then after that I would like you to give the season a score out of 10, which could be interesting what we come up with, but I'll start with player of the year, and for me I voted for Liam Kelly, who I think without would have really, really been in the brown stuff. He made one or two key saves in every match. Very much like Mark Gillespie last season, actually, who for me was the difference between Motherwell being third and Motherwell being 10th, because time and time again, Mark Gillespie would come up with a really big stop. It would quite often change the course of a game or be match defining. So for me, Kelly did that time and time again for us. I'd be interested to see how many times he was voted man of the match since coming in late January. A superb goalkeeper, one that I very much hope we can work out a deal for next season. I see that one of QPR's goalkeepers joined Middlesbrough today, so that might not be a positive sign. Though if there's a deal to be done, I'm sure Alan Burrows will work night and day to get it done. I think that Kelly's a standout, despite the fact he only played half the season.
And we are only playing half the season is why I wouldn't vote for him. And the fact that he was in loan as well is the reason why I didn't vote. And for me, it was Tony Watt. Tony Watt, for me, was the biggest surprise when we signed him. It was a kind of he was always going to come to us at some point. I think he's on and off the pitch, I like him. I know you're not a big fan of streaming, Andy, but I think he engages with fans quite well on social media and stuff. And but most importantly, on the park, I think he's worked great. He's phenomenal. If you look at the way that he came on against Hibs, he completely changed that game, and he's got that in him. Yes, he probably doesn't score enough goals for being up there, but he certainly creates them. I mean, you mentioned it earlier on, the wee pass for Alan Campbell, but he had a similar pass for, I think it was Jordan Roberts' goal.
at Hibs. So all of our good points, in my opinion, have been in Tony Watt. Has been playing, and I just think he's found his feet at a club that appreciate him, and I think that really shows. And I was delighted when he was voted Player of the Year. I never thought that I would have taken to him in the way that I do. I think he comes with almost the, oh, he's Celtic, Barcelona, and that's all you're going to hear from him. But for me, he's the absolute opposite, and he's thankful for being given the shot at Fir Park. I remember him when he was given the captain's armband, how he came on his social media, and he was delighted. So for me, his performances have been first class. I don't really remember a game where I thought, oh, get him off or whatever. But I do agree with you that Liam Kelly would be a very close second. Fantastic season, but Tony Watt for me just shades it.
Well, you've got the chance to send it to deadlock, Andy, or?
No. Casting the vote for me is Liam Kelly. Much the same as you said yourself. I think we've had spells where Tony Watt's shown tremendous form. I don't think it's been consistent though, whereas Kelly was desperately needed and really gave us what we needed at exactly the right time. And that barren possibly one poor game in the kind of 5 months he was here, it delivered consistently. And exactly as you say, it was like one worldly save at least per game, be that penalties, point blank saves, whatever the case may be. He made such a difference and earned us so many points across those games that even though he was only there for 5 months, it's amazing the calibre of his performances that I easily give it to him.
Quick Strictly Come Dancing style, a score out of 10 for the season. I'll just start us off to get the ball rolling. I'll give this season a 5 out of 10.
I'll be a 4. Maybe a 5. I'll go a 5 as well, because it did start to get better. Up until Christmas, it was horrendous. Some of the football was shocking. But it's starting to be middle of the road. Hopefully, continually on up for when we start next season.
Who am I to differ? I mean, you summed it up there perfectly. Middle of the road. League campaign, you've finished broadly where we roughly finish. I think the average kind of figures for finishing positions, I think we're roughly 7th or 8th. So you're kind of on a par with what we generally achieve. Cup-wise, you've been knocked out with Premier League teams, so could be better, could be worse. Europe-wise, you've actually, although it was hardly startling stuff, you've got through a couple of rounds and got in there, the kind of playoff round of it. Haven't been relegated, so it's very much middle-of-the-road average stuff. Performance-wise, style of play-wise, then, well, in many respects, we're maybe going down the way for that in some cases. But all in all, I would say your 5's fairly adequate there.
Great, guys, thank you very much for that and taking part in our first alternative end of season awards. We went in many different directions over the course of that, but yeah, it's interesting to see the contrast in views. We've pretty much reached all we've got time for. I'm aware of the fact that we've not mentioned that included in these departures was also Declan Gallagher, who has joined Aberdeen. We'll touch on that over the course of the next couple of podcasts. A couple of special guests planned for the next 2 or 3 weeks. We'll update on social media as to who those are and get the podcast uploaded as quickly as possible. Guys, I would like to take the opportunity to thank you both for coming on and talking so candidly over the course of the season. It's made what has been a difficult season that much more bearable, just having a bit of patter and conversation when most of us have had to watch games alone and perhaps kind of miss that interaction that we so often have inside the stadium.
It's been a pleasure as always.
I think you obviously do a lot more stuff as well, with editing and stuff, so a lot of the 95% of the stuff is down to you for keeping it afloat. And you say it's been, forget that you're recording, sometimes it just feels like you're having a good 3.5 hours away for normal life and getting back to normality. So it's been great over the last year, even though it's maybe not been the most exciting season. So thanks for having that you, David, as well, Andy.
No, it's a pleasure. Yep. And hopefully come next season, we're talking about games that we've all witnessed in the flesh. But as I say, we'll be back in a couple of weeks with the first of the summer specials. Until then, guys, thank you very much for your time. Take care, and we'll be back in a fortnight.
About what doesn't matter to you, vindication for your regression. Perplexed is with you, tainted facts. Don't call us out, cause we've covered the tracks and it doesn't fit the manifesto. So sorry, son, you're gonna have to go. Write an anthem for the doomed Jews, cause you're not in love and we don't love you. Don't trust the lies that have stuck like glue, no matter what you put us through. We've grown older.